A few months ago, Dina Warren, come on up, Dina. Dina Warren came to me, and we had a nice conversation, and Dina was feeling the tug of the Lord on her heart for the possibility of ministry, and we're excited about that. I got to counting in my time here about 14 years. I got up to eight that we have sent out into ministry from here, and that's exciting. And so if it ends up being nine, we would be excited about it. We wouldn't be excited about losing you, but we know that you're going to do what the Lord asks you to do. So I've offered, on each one of these cases, I've always offered opportunities to preach and to kind of, you know, sit in the saddle and see how it feels. Have you thrown up this morning?
No.
Okay, great. That's good. That's a good sign.
I'm just sweating profusely. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right, though.
It's okay. I want to pray.
Feel in the spirit.
I want to pray for Dina as she brings the word. Lord, we thank you that you are active. You are active in the hearts of your people, and you are talking to people. You are calling people. Lord, we pray blessings on Dina, God, and on Tom and their family, God. Just in the name of Jesus, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come today. We pray, God, that your spirit is a spirit of peace, not anxiousness, but of peace. And so may your spirit fall on her. It's also a spirit of truth. And so, Lord, give her truth to say. Should they be your words. Bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Try to get everything adjusted here. So, well, thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's a wonderful morning. And I have to say, when I got here this morning to practice with the praise team, I didn't know you'd have my car parked out back, Jeff. That's pretty awesome. When I was telling Jeff that I was going to be preaching on giving, you know, to our full potential, I didn't know that you'd have something waiting for me. Look at that. That's so awesome. So I was like, wow, this is amazing. But I am going to talk about giving, and sometimes that's a tough subject on our hearts. So I know sometimes this is where I've struggled personally, and maybe some of you have struggled in that area personally too. Not just giving of our finances, but our time, our prayers, our service to others. And so that's what we're going to be talking about and focusing on this morning. So I have a question to ask. How many of you pay attention to the back of the bulletin? I know we might read the front, the inside, but the back of the bulletin, Jeff has brought this to our attention before, shows us where our gifts, our financial gifts from this church go. Besides maintaining this building and providing salaries for our wonderful staff here that keep everything running, our giving goes to others. And so we really need to be aware of that and know where our money goes. It's not just local. If you notice, some of the things here are local in our community, but it's also to the conference. So we go out, and then globally to our missions. And so we have to think in those kind of areas and levels and stuff like that when we're talking about giving and how we can give back. And so, as we know, these are troubling times. Jeff has preached about it a lot lately. I mean, our world is in need. It's a hurting world. So we see it within our local communities. We see it within the state. We see it within our nation. And we see it within the globe itself. There are so many hurting out there. So I'm going to provide some statistics for you that I really kind of want you all to think about. Okay. So one half of the world, which is over 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day. $2.50. I mean, that's a Coke for us when we go somewhere to eat. Think about that. 80% of humanity in this world lives on $10 a day. 2.2 billion children are in this world, and 1 billion of these children live in poverty. Crazy, huh? Now let's look a little bit closer to home. Let's look in the U.S. So there are 46.7 million people that are in poverty in the U.S. So 21.1% of those are children, 18 years or younger, 21.1%. 13.5 are ages 18 to 24, and then there are 10% that are 65 and older. So 14% of households, which is roughly about 17.5 million households, were food insecure. And 3.7 million households were unable to consistently provide adequate, nutritious food for their children. I can't fathom that. It's just a staggering number to me. So 19.9 million Americans live in extreme poverty. So with an income less than $10,000 for a family of four. Crazy, isn't it? And then let's talk about Abilene itself. Our poverty level here is 19.8%. So not so high when you think of some other places, but for our little town, it is pretty staggering. So will you stop and pray with me before we get into the word today? Come, Father, and open our hearts and mind to your world, to your word, and allow the Spirit to move among us and stir our souls as we reflect on giving to our full potential. May the words of my mouth be yours, not mine, and the ears of your people receive your message this morning. Amen. So this morning I'm going to focus on 2 Corinthians chapters 8 through 9. So in the infamous words of Jeff, if you have your Bibles with you, if you turn with me, please, if you will, there we go. So I have to quote you on that one still. So I'm going to set the stage. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This first part of it, Paul is calling on the church in Corinth. So he really wants them to give to their full potential. Okay. He begins his plea by giving them an example. Sometimes we need examples. We don't know how we're to give, right? We know we have a giving heart. We need to do something. We feel moved to do something, but we just don't know what to do. So Paul provides that example. So, and he tells them, the Macedonia church has been very generous. You know, he talks here, he says, that though they've been going through much trouble and hard times, they have given generously. So they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. Free will. Okay, then he goes on to say, the first action, though, that they did was to dedicate themselves to the Lord and to seek his direction. So, first they sought God's direction. How would you use our gifts, our talents, our funds? What do we need to do with this? And then second, dear Lord, how are we to give? Show us. Okay? Amen to that, yes. So I want you to join with me in 2 Corinthians 8, 11 through 15. So I think Lee's got the scripture for us. So it says, give whatever you can according to what you have. If you are really eager to give, it isn't important how much you are able to give. God wants you to give what you have, but not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean that you should give so much that you suffer from having too little. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help them. Then at some other time, they can share with you when you need it. In this way, everyone's needs will be met. Everyone's needs will be met. Do you remember what the scriptures say about this? Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Okay, so the things I take away from this part of scripture here is that, number one, we have to give what we're able to give. And sometimes we're not really aware of what that ability is. Sometimes we feel God calling on our hearts, tugging on our hearts, and he might say, I want you to be a little bit more active in the church. And you say, well, how am I supposed to do that? So I can tell you, going and talking with Jeff and talking with Billy and Carlene opened my eyes to some of the needs of this church. So our children's ministry is always needing assistance with different projects and different things that they're doing. The women of Wiley, they're always needing assistance. And I know I'm not always the best at being able to give my time to that, but when I am, I want to help. So, and then there are other things. We have wonderful servants that prepare our table that's right in front of us that we are going to partake of today. We have servants that fill our weekly brochures or bulletins that we read. All of these things, Lee in the back, who makes sure that all of our words are perfect when we're here on Sunday mornings, all of these things matter. All of these things help our church to run and couldn't happen without the love in everybody's hearts. So for those of you that participate, I thank you. For those of you who feel that call, pray. Pray and ask God, what is it that he's laying on your hearts? What is it that he's called you to do? Another thing is, when we think about financial giving, sometimes that's a little difficult, especially when, you know, you have financial needs. I know I have student loans that I'm trying to pay off and do things with, and I have a family and stuff like that, and it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard to prioritize things, but I can tell you that when Tom and I put God first, God provided for us. He made sure that we had everything that we needed. And it was surprising. The more that we gave, the little bit more, the more we got back. And we never had to, you know, we started off, struggling a lot of times. We were people going to the food pantry when we were younger. You know, we were the ones that went and paid $25 to get our box of groceries. You know, that was us. So the helping hands that provided that went so far for our family. Not only that, but, and I can't talk about this without crying, so just bear with me, but our family wouldn't be whole in the way it is without somebody else's generosity to us. So we went through years of infertility treatments. So we had done 2 years on our own trying to do everything that we could, and that didn't work, and we got referred, and we were going back and forth to Lubbock almost weekly sometimes. And expenses were tight, and we wound up at $40,000 in debt just in the 2 years that we were trying to get pregnant. It was very challenging because insurance didn't pay for it, and we had basically given up on having a child. We figured, okay, this, you know, God, this is not in our, you know, not in your plan. We'll accept this. This is hard for us, but we'll go on. And it was through the blessing of some sweet, dear friends that helped us. So we called to wish them a happy anniversary, and they were basically like an aunt and uncle to Tom. They had seen him grow. And they said, well, how are things going? And we said, well, we've pretty much resolved that we're just not meant to have a child. And they said, well, would you be willing to try one more time? And we said, well, there's no way we can afford that. We're already in such deep debt right now, there's no way. And they said, we want to pay for this. We want to give you the money. God has blessed us, and we want to bless you. And through that whole process, Grace was the only little embryo that survived that whole ordeal, and she's here today. So she's our Grace from God. That's why we named her as such. So when we were a young couple and Grace was in childcare, I mean, any of you that have a baby know how much childcare is. I mean, when they get a little bit older, it goes down, but it is so expensive to have a baby in a nursery. And 1 month we couldn't physically, I mean, there was no money to pay for that. We didn't know what we were going to do. And we still to this day do not know who paid for her nursery bill 1 month for at the daycare. So they came in and I said, we're just going to have to do some kind of payment arrangements. I really don't know what we're going to do. We're struggling. I'm doing the best I can. And they said, don't worry about it. Somebody has come forth and paid for you. So that there blessed us in a way that we didn't know, you know. And now we're further along in our life, and we are in the position now where we can bless and help others. And so I challenge you guys, when you think that, you know, sometimes I only have two quarters to rub together and I don't know how to give. I mean, if we take our lesson from the lady who gave everything she had, those little tiny coins, and put them and walked off, she was blessed beyond belief. And so sometimes it's our faith that's being tested here. I know we had our faith tested, and our faith grew because of the things that we went through. And now we want to help grow others through that. So giving then has a reciprocal nature. It's not just one-sided. The couple that helped us be able to go through that one last try where we have Grace, they said, all we want is grandparent rights. That's all we want. We have two daughters that aren't married. They don't want children. They don't want anything. All we want to have is grandparent rights. And they do. They see Grace. We take Grace to see them. I mean, she's gone and spent some time, and they're closer now. They're in Austin instead of in El Paso. So it's really nice that we have a chance to, you know, really build on that relationship with them and keep that strong. So know that giving has a reciprocal nature. The little things that you do, you may not realize. I mean, I have to I'm going to call a few of you out, and I hope it doesn't embarrass you, but the McCarns, Steve and Cindy, I just want to thank you because they are such wonderful people, prayerful people, and they, in a day that I was having one of the worst days, I got a card from them in the mail, just saying that they were praying for me, lifting me up. That simple act of kindness made my day and just brought joy to my heart. So my dear friend Pam, who's sitting over here, made sure to invite some of my other friends who I haven't seen in a while for me today to be here and support. So the young couple and the gentleman in up front, they are some of my dear friends, and I'm so blessed to have them here today. I said, oh my goodness, you're going to make me cry just walking in here. So things like that, you don't realize how much just the little things that you do, the hug that you give, the smile to a stranger. So the words of encouragement, all of those are forms of giving. Share that with somebody in this world. Don't leave it a dark and lonely place. So, Coach, I have to call you out too, because every one of the children in this sanctuary love you. They look for you every Sunday morning. So I know my daughter thinks of you like a grandfather. And so it is such a blessing. It's people who give just a little bit of themselves that just make that extra little step that brightens the day. Be that in your environments, in your workplace, okay, at school, wherever it is that you are, be that light. We're called to be the light in this world, this dark world, right? We're called to be the salt of this earth. Be that. I call on you to move within your heart. Have God lead you and guide you to where that is. Be prayerful in nature. So it's not until I really started putting my thoughts with God and praying with him and asking him to put on my heart what it is that he wanted me to say, that these words came pouring out. And I have to tell you, it wasn't difficult to do. It was remarkably easy. And so I feel very blessed that the Lord brought his spirit to me so that these words can be on these pages today, so that it can be shared with you. So, and then the next thing is you need to know is giving has to be done with free will. You cannot expect anything in return. So it's not something to be given and then taken back away. It's something to go and let be. So if you're expecting something, then it's not a free will. It's something that you're waiting and wanting something in return. So when you give that extra encouragement, that love, maybe that extra $5 in the plate as it comes by on Sunday mornings, whatever it is, give with a free heart. That's what the Macedonia church did, and that's the example that Paul gave the church in Corinth. Give of that free will. God calls each of us, and I can't stress this enough, each of us to be his hands and feet. So, and you may think, I don't have much to give. I have a broken heart. I have so little that I don't even know how to express or give that. Then I say join with others. Because being a part, I know Jeff and Billy have both talked about the community groups, but being a part of a group, whether it's community group, Sunday school, being a part of just a prayer group itself, be a part of something. Because where there are two or more together, God is there. He is listening. He is with you. And so don't think because you are so broken that God is not there and not with you and not hearing your cries. He does. Every day. So sometimes we're not so good at hearing back what it is that he is saying. So be still and know that I am God. We have to have some of those quiet moments with him too. So in the car while I'm driving to work, I always make sure I'm listening to something that's uplifting. I'm listening to Christian music of some type, and I'm talking and praying with God. That's 10 minutes of my time that I can give him. Sometimes at night, I can't say I do it religiously, so or faithfully, and that's something that I'm working on. I sit down and I read. I try to read almost every night, but some nights I'm just too tired. It's been a stressful day at work. Whatever's gone on, I fall asleep on the couch. But I try to read and be in God's Word. The closer we are with Him, the closer you are in union with Him, the more He will carry you through and you will see the fruits of His Spirit. So please remember that. So in closing, I'm going to talk, we're going to kind of jump to 2 Corinthians 9, 9 through 15. So because Paul is kind of wrapping all of this up in here. So scripture says, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. Never be forgotten. You might not realize that your deed that you've just done has made the world a difference to somebody else, but it is never forgotten. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will give you many opportunities to do good, and He will produce great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give more generously. Did you hear that? You will be enriched so that you can give more generously. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God. They will thank God for what you've done, your simple act of kindness. So two good things will happen. The needs of the Christians in Jerusalem, that's what he was talking about here, will be met, and they will joyfully express thanksgiving to God. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. You will be glorifying God. Your generosity to them will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you. They will pray for you with deep affection because of the wonderful grace of God shown through you. Thank God for His Son, a gift too wonderful for words. And isn't that the truth? He gave His Son, His only begotten Son, for us, for all of us, for all of mankind, not just those sitting in the chairs today or those walking out there playing golf this morning, but everyone, every man, every woman, every child on this earth. So we have to keep all of that into consideration. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to give. I understand that. But let God press into you and you press into Him and find ways in which He can lead you to give. So He gave His Son. We're going to partake of a meal here in just a minute to represent that. So think about that as you step into this time of Holy Communion. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. You know, Dana just shared with us from the Word that God is a giver. He calls us to be a giver because He's a giver. That's His nature. He loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son. So we come partake at this table celebrating what He has done for us. He loves us so much. Jesus allowed His body to be broken for our sake. And He shed His blood so that we might be healed, so that we might be whole. As we come to this meal today, this is Christ's table. It's not my table and it's not Wiley Methodist table. It's Christ's table, and He invites us to His table. We do not have to, somehow be worthy. In fact, it's the unworthy that come to this table. The only thing that is asked of us as we come is that we repent of our sins and we have called on the name of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So if you repent of your sins, if you call on the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are welcome at this table. So the first step in that is repentance. So that's a word that we sometimes don't like. It just basically is crying out to God and saying, God, we're unworthy, and we need You as Savior. We need you as Lord. So if you would bow your heads with me as we prepare for this table today, if you'll just pray your own personal prayer of confession of unworthiness before a holy God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. If our praise team and our servers and our sound team will come forward, please. Christ our Lord has invited us to his table. If you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome at this table. You're also welcome to not come. If you would like to not partake this morning, you have that blessing to do that as well. We hope you will feel welcome to come. These two stations here and these two stations here, you'll be given a piece of bread, dip the bread into the juice and partake in that manner. The center section has the individual pieces of bread in the cup, individual cup. If you can want to be served in that manner, you can come to the center. The altar rail is open. God is waiting. Come.
You are holy, you are faithful, you are Savior, you are friend. You are all I'll ever need, Lord, you are. You are every question's answer, you are every reason why. You are moving, you are still, Lord, you are. And you are the Lord on high. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the bright morning star. You are. Peace on earth, you are Alpha and Omega, you are. You are comfort, you are refuge, you are love personified, you are kindness and compassion, you are. And you are. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the bright morning star. Sing, you are the reason I make this offering. the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this offering.
Dina has challenged us today to be a giving people because we have a giving Father that has given to us. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
You are my God and my King. You are the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this song. And you are the Lord on high. You are God and my King. You are the words that I sing. You are the reason I make.